Well, would you please open to Paul's letter to the believers in Rome, Romans chapter 3. And we look at short sections in chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5. Romans chapter 3. The theme this evening is God's free gift of Christ's righteousness. The free gift of Christ's righteousness. What a blessing that is for us as well. So Romans chapter 3, a few verses from verse 21. Romans chapter 3 from verse 21 to 26. Romans 3, 21 to 26, which I'll read. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, would you go over to chapter 4, please? Chapter 4. Few verses in chapter 4. First of all, verse 5, Romans 4 and verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted to righteousness, or for righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Faith is accounted for righteousness. Verse 6, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness, apart from works, that is by faith, of course. Verse 9, does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised, the Jew, only? Or upon the uncircumcised, Gentiles, also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Now, would you please go over to chapter 5? Chapter 5, just two verses in chapter 5 to begin with. Chapter 5, 17 and 18. Chapter 5, 17 and 18. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through the one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So justification and righteousness really are very much the same. So looking this evening at the free gift of Christ's righteousness. Now that's wonderful security for the Christian. It means we can never lose our salvation. We're safe and secure in the righteousness imparted and imputed to us by the Lord Jesus Christ when we believe, when we have faith in his redeeming work. So this is a free gift of righteousness. The other word is justification, being put right with the Lord. And we know that Christ died for sinners, verses 6 and 8. So we have righteousness. We have a new relationship with the Lord through that, through faith. And we're justified. We have every right to be in heaven, fully right to be there, justified in heaven, justified in our relationship with the Lord through our faith in his redeeming work. We have every right to be saved through our faith in his work. So we're not only given righteousness, not only are we justified, there's an also another word, easier to understand, reconciliation. We're reconciled to the Lord through the blood of Christ. Well, it's a tremendous gospel message there, of course. So with that reconciliation, we have the gift of righteousness and a new relationship with the Lord. Now we know that Christ died for our sins. He sacrificed himself. He's atoned for sin and guilt before a holy God. And he's removed all the judgment and retribution that God would hold against unsaved sinners because he's a holy God. So Christ died. He took our place under the wrath of God. That's the gospel message upon himself, and those who trust in him are saved. Now, would you leave Romans just for a moment, please, and go over to the first letter of Peter. First Peter, please. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. And read a few verses there from verse 21. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth. For when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Verse 24 and 5, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. There it is. We might live unto righteousness. Right living, accepted. Right living before the Lord, by whose stripes we are healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd, overseer, or bishop of your souls. So we may now, believers, live in the blessedness of a right relationship with the Lord. Righteousness by faith. That's important. That's what happened here. So upon our repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that we receive forgiveness, believing he's alive from the dead, and we have new spiritual life. We have and wear, if you like, the robe of righteousness. It covers us. It clothes us completely, and the Lord sees his righteousness given to us. That's wonderful. No man can lose his salvation, we know that. And we just rejoice in the Lord that he's alive forevermore. So we received his righteousness given to us freely when we believe in his work. Righteousness is imputed or imparted to us who believe in him as Savior and Lord. So we have a new relationship with God the Father. You may call him Abba, Father. We have a new relationship through the Son, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit indwells the believer where the temple of the living God. Isn't that marvelous? Imagine human beings in that experience. It's wonderful, isn't it? So we know that our presence in heaven is fully justified. We have every right to be there as believers in Christ, fully justified, right with God, with every right to be in heaven, with every right to expect the blessing of the Lord when we're obedient, and also the Lord to walk with us as we walk with the Lord in daily living as Christians. So this is important. So now what we have, believers are now pronounced righteous. Not our own righteousness. Jeremiah tells us our righteousness is filthy rags. So we're clothed in Christ's righteousness, which is perfect. We're not perfect, but his clothing of righteousness is perfect. So that makes us acceptable in the beloved, acceptable into his presence, reconciled freely by his grace. Doesn't cost us anything. Christ, it cost him everything, but it doesn't cost us anything when we believe. Afterwards, maybe. We don't know. So we received God's own righteousness, received by faith as a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. It's a free gift when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful gospel message, of course. So we're reconciled. We have Christ's righteousness put to our account, imparted to our lives wonderful. We have the free gift of Christ's own righteousness put to our account of life. And that will take us right into eternity, into the presence of the Lord for eternal life. Wonderful, that, isn't it? So his righteousness is put to our account. It's imparted to us, free, glorious. Now, wonderful. So we have every right to be in the Lord's presence in heaven for eternal life forever and evermore. Wonderful, isn't it? So you and I are pronounced righteous, not our own, his, through the gift of Christ's righteousness given to us. What a wonderful benefit. It'll take us right through this life and into eternity in fellowship with the Lord and with each other, of course. So that, well, take a couple of words from 1 John. Propitiation. Well, that's a long word, isn't it? It means a covering for sin. An atonement for sin is covered. Our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. And we're clothed and covered by the righteous robe of Christ. Marvelous. What a message that is, isn't it? So, imputed righteousness put to our account and implanted unto our very being, our lives. You can't lose what God gives as a gift. You can't lose it. He won't take it away. That's wonderful benefit now and forever. Great. That's wonderful, that, isn't it? This is called justification of life. That this justification, long word enough, it means simply being put right with God the Father, put right with the Son, put right by the Holy Spirit indwelling every Christian. That's a wonderful thing. It's ours, wonderful benefit, and you can never, never lose it. So in other words, as we have in the scriptures, if you go back to Romans, please, would you? Go back to Romans. And look at verse 9. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Here you've got the mention of the blood of Jesus. Verse 8 says, God has demonstrated his love for us. Verse 9, much more, even more than that. Much more than having been now justified by his blood. He shed blood, cleansed away sin, washed us clean. Hallelujah. Christ's death, his shed blood, has accounted for us to accept it and given his righteousness. Wonderful, that. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Can't be plainer than that, can it? Justified, cleansed by his precious blood, forgiven, made new, new creatures in Christ. And we shall be saved from the future wrath. That's awful to come. Hallelujah. What a savior. What a shed blood. What a redeemer. So that's wonderful, isn't it? But all that is put to our account. Righteousness. His righteousness put to our account. And if you were in Romans 5, look at verse 19. Romans 5 and verse 19. We've been talking about Adam's sin before that. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, that's Jesus, many will be made righteous. Christ did all that was necessary for you and I to have a right relationship with him. He took away our sin and he gave us his life. What a wonderful exchange that is. He took our sin, he gave us his life. Born again of the Spirit of God. Wonderful that, isn't it? So we're justified, put right, accepted, nothing amiss now, as far as relationship is concerned. It's a saving experience forever for the believer. So all that is given to us. It's imparted. It's a free gift. Can't earn it. And if you can't earn it, you can't lose it. It's a free gift, and the Lord holds it forth. And grace reigns in righteousness. That's verse 19. Grace reigns in righteousness. That's wonderful, that, isn't it? Well, so it is. So the blood of Jesus has atoned for all sin. We know that. So now the believer is fully justified, as I said. He's every right to be in heaven, every right to know the blessing of the Lord now in our life, every reason to know that the Lord is with us. He never forsakes us. He guides us through life, supplies our need, looks after us. He's a shepherd. He's a shepherd of the sheep. Hallelujah. And shepherds look after their sheep because they're precious. We are precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have given a free gift of righteousness, a free gift of justification, put right with the Lord. And we are completely free from any responsibility to deal with our sin, except as a Christian, to confess our sin if we do, and the Lord will forgive us. That's wonderful, isn't it? So if you will go, please, now from Romans into 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he made him, as the Father made the Son, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Well, that's the glorious message we've been talking about. We are made righteous because Christ took our sin responsibility, and he was judged instead of us. He was condemned instead of us. He experienced the wrath of God instead of us at the death of the cross. He knew no sin, he was sinless, perfection, Son of God, of course, so that we might become righteous. We might be given the free righteousness of God. It's a free gift of righteousness. Wonderful, that, isn't it? Let's praise the Lord for that. So we also not only have righteousness, a right relationship with him, everything is okay between the Lord and ourselves, between the Father and ourselves, and the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. That's a free gift which we never earn. It's our possession. Our possession, we have it. That can never change. We're saved. If you look in, go back to Romans, please, if you will. Go back to Romans 5. Go back to Romans chapter 5. And you can see there in chapter 5, verse 10. Look at verse 10 in Romans 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Remember, because we're sinners, we're at enmity with God until that's cleansed away. When we're enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What do you mean by that? His resurrection life. We're saved by his resurrection life. Not just his death. We're saved by his resurrection life. Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. Meaning eternity. Because he lives, resurrected, ascended, enthroned with the Father. Because he lives, we shall live also. The words of Jesus himself. It's wonderful, isn't it? So the believer is now completely free to be received, lovingly welcomed into the Lord's presence. He's our shepherd. We're his sheep. Wonderful. Now, just look in, finally, coming to an end. If you look in verse 17, again, Romans 5, verse 17, once again, if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, well, we know that, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. We shall win through in life's circumstances. I know we have difficulties, but we shall win through. The Lord will bring us through with his strength. Will bring us through with his help. Will bring us through as we need, day by day. That's his promise, because he's a shepherd of the sheep. Very important that it says here, we shall reign in life. How about that? In life circumstances, though we have difficulties, don't we know it, we will be brought through those difficulties like the children of Israel were brought through the Red Sea. Can you imagine? When the children of Israel, they rescued from Egypt by the Passover lamb's blood, come to the edge of the Red Sea, how are we going to pass? Impossible, the sea is there, we can't get through. But the Lord, what did he do? He raised up that particular wind and he just parted the waters and they could walk through safely to the very last one. When the Egyptians tried it, no work. They drowned. So the Lord, his great rescue act for Israel and his great rescue act for us at the cross and the resurrection, the Lord gave Israel life literally from the dead of being in Egypt. He gave them life and brought them into their own land. And he will bring us from this life into heaven to be with him. Glorious. Because we're reconciled, because we've given his righteousness, and we're saved because he's alive today. We're saved by his resurrection. 9 and 10 there in chapter 5. We should be saved by his life, his resurrection life, not just his death, but because he lives, we shall live also. Wonderful. We have eternal life starting now, and we receive reconciliation. Is that wonderful there? So finally, that gift of righteousness, free, Christ's own righteousness, given to us, put to our account, imparted, imputed, whatever word you like to use, is put to our account. We can never lose it. And we are one wonderful, it's a legal term, really, a legal term. We are acquitted from all condemnation, acquitted, set free. Hallelujah. Despite our difficulties and our tripping up here now and again, the Lord will bring us right through. And his actions for us will take us right through, as he took the children of Israel right through the waters that were impassable to them. But the Lord opened up the way. And the Lord Jesus is our way. He's opened up the way. And he's the way through all sorts of obstacles, difficulties, problems, trials. He will take us through, like it took the Hebrews through the Red Sea, which is divided fully. They could all walk through. Wonderful, isn't it? So now we have the gift of Christ's righteousness. Look at verse 17 finally. End of verse 17 of Romans 5. We receive an abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness. We will reign in life now and with him. That's wonderful, isn't it? We are now, as believers, we have divine justification. He's put it right. We receive it by faith. And we are now new creatures in Christ, born again, spiritually alive. Hallelujah. Because Christ bore our sin and he has given us his righteousness. That's a glorious message. Now we can call God the Father, Father, Abba, relationship. And he says for us, you are my sons and daughters. Hallelujah. Now would you finally look in the book of Revelation, one verse. Let us size it all up. Revelation chapter 19. Chapter 19. Verse 8. Here's a description of the glory. Revelation 19 and verse 8. You can see there's a marriage coming. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb as well. In verse 8, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. That's you and me. And to her it was granted to be arrayed or clothed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen represents the righteous acts of the saints. We can live righteously when we are righteous. When we are right with God, not our own. Jeremiah says, your rags, filthy garments, your righteousness, no good. You need somebody else's. That's Christ. He'll give to us his righteousness. Hallelujah for that. There we are. At the marriage of the Lamb, which is in verse 7, verse 8, to her was granted to be arrayed or clothed in fine linen, clean and bright and pure. For the fine linen represents the righteous acts of the saint. We can live right because we are right. Wonderful. And we are sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. You may now cry, Abba, Father, because you have the free gift of Christ's righteousness forever. Amen.